The Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bob Dave!
Hey, Bob Dave!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better! We get
beat!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. Let's get it on. So much to discuss with Nebraska basketball. Ed Morrow saying sayonara. And your reaction as a Nebraska basketball fan. There are those of you that are anti-Tim Miles. Those of you positive, pro-Tim Miles. So let's roll our sleeves up and have a talk. 2 hours worth here on Hail Varsity Radio. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776. If you're outside Lincoln, 1-800-825-5865. And on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. And the text line, 88474. A different text number for you to dial up for that $125K money ball. Boom. $1,000 up for grabs at 5 o'clock. When you hear that, I don't want to call it the secret word. That's already copyrighted and trademarked. But the word of the day, the special word. How about the key word? When you hear the key word revealed, text that key word to 77000. Your chance at $1,000. We'll be at Yowie's Saturday, 3 to 6, getting you ready for the Final Four. You dream as a Nebraska basketball fan of getting back to the tournament. Players from Simeon High School, players like Ed Morrow, typically do not come through your program. You've had difference makers. You've had playmakers. You've had good role guys. You've had all of the above contribute to those teams when they've made tournament runs. What's the loss of Ed Morrow mean? Jacob Bedillo will join us in 15 minutes. His thoughts he put into words because he's tremendous at it with HailVarsity.com. Jacob, we love him so much we want him back. So we'll get his thoughts on Nebraska basketball. Our Hail Varsity basketball insider, Bo Reed, Husker standout from the 1991 team, will be with us at 5 o'clock. He is traveling back from California, but Bo, a big Nebraska basketball supporter, gave the blood and sweat and tears for a tournament run as a 3 seed a few years back. Then we'll switch it up a bit. We'll talk football and dancing, maybe even a little Jameer Calvin. What? Said a dirty word there. Mike Leach will join us, the Pirate, our favorite Pirate, Washington State head coach, because why not? When you book this and you say, Coach Leach, what'll work? He says, well, let's talk Thursday. You run with it. But plenty of thoughts, and you can chime in on Twitter, too. And many of you did last night. A few Twitter conversations, at Schmidt underscore radio, with the Tim Miles and Ed Morrow news. Jacob Padilla did a great job with kind of breaking down where Nebraska's at post-Ed. Lee Barfnick did his recount as he talked with Coach Miles and also Ed's folks. So let's just start out with the finger pointing, because that's what's going on. The finger pointing is alive and well, and it's okay. This, to me, here and now, is a double fault accident. Have you been in one of those ever?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. And I've only been where I've made a mistake or someone's whacked me. I've not had the double fault where no one's happy and Judge Judy says no soup for either of you. Double fault. A, the way it was relayed from Lee's story, Ed does not like playing center. Ed doesn't want to be in the paint. Ed didn't want to split time with Jordy. Ed wants to be a three, a wing, a guy that will get some touches, a guy that will get some points. You read the press release from Nebraska basketball, the word sacrifice used. Ed, this is so contradictory because Ed Morrow, every second he was here, all he did was play his heart out, play as the toughest guy on the floor, even though he's the most undersized guy on the floor. And all he did was sell his body out through rehab or when he was on court for his teammates. At some point post-injury, something flipped. Something flipped. And what I saw from Ed was more aggressiveness. Maybe that was communicated to him. But more aggressiveness offensively with trying to score. How did Ed score against Maryland? How did Ed score against Indiana? Occasionally they'd throw it into him, but for the most part it was hustle points, putbacks. I'm going to attack the rim. That's Ed's offensive game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat the crap out of you, be stronger, out-hustle you, outwork you. And that's how he scored. That's really how Jacobson scored, aside from a few jumpers. There was no Hakeem Olajuwon, throw it in, dream shake.
No.
Unstoppable fadeaway. Okay? It wasn't that way. There was no Shaq, I'm 3'10 of brick in my heyday, and I'm just going to dunk all over you. Hmm. That's not Ed. Ed went back for spring break. Somebody along the way said, Ed, if you want to go to the league, my man, you got to get more points and rebounds. Hmm. And you got to get out of that center spot as a 6'7 tweener trying to guard and score on the other guy's tallest guy. There was a meeting Monday. Ed, here's what we foresee from Coach Miles and Kenya Hunter. Wednesday happens after Ed thought about it. Gone. I'm going to go somewhere I can develop offensively and get a chance to be more of an offensive focal point. Not at Nebraska. So when I say double fault, let me explain. Ed's role that best fit this team and best gave Nebraska a chance to win was down low defensively. On offense, same thing. It's not ideal to shoot over big dudes. I get it, but I don't trust his ball handling. I don't trust his ability to make a move off the dribble. He forced it and pushed it and was pressing post-injury to try and do something, and the result was a lot of turnovers in close games. Didn't help the team. There came a fork in the road. Me, pro basketball, what I want to do personally, career achievement-wise, me versus we. As a team, this fits our team best, gives us the best chance to win. Granted, it's a 12-win team. But a big reason you were 12-19 or whatever the hell they finished is because I was out, he was out during that stretch. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I got to kick it in high gear. I got these other dudes coming in because for some reason this roster has 4,000 fours on it. That's the other thing. When I say double fault, Tim Miles has been tremendous at getting high profile and guys that can play in the Big Ten here. There's a long list of transfers since 14. I won't argue that he has lost guys. And I can't argue that he has lost important guys, difference-making guys like Ed Morrow, whether Ed was off the bench, whether Ed was going to start. Ed's a second-year guy in the Big Ten that jumped 4.5, 5 points a game at about 5 rebounds a game, despite having a bad foot. So Ed will give you 10-10. Where could it have gone junior, senior year at Nebraska is the question per minutes per game. I don't know. I just know that you lose a guy like Andrew White, you lose a guy like Tran Pettaway, who opts to try and get to the NBA. You lose a guy like Walt Pitchford. You've got a bad history of losing difference-making talent at a school that rarely gets difference-makers.
Yep. Live by the transfer, die by the transfer.
So that's a philosophy. You have stability in question before last night. And now it turns into Earthquake City because all the haters are screaming loud. The supporters are running out of things to support. And I'm Tim Miles, and I have three scholarships to fill with tremendous uncertainty, pressure, and a laundry list of my best guys all leaving. And the question mark, who's next out there? Who else going to leave? If a guy like Ed Morrow says, God, I got no future here. This isn't going to be me. I'm not going to waste away here. I'm out. What gives the rest of this roster that looks good any hope?
And I think that's what's interesting and what makes this look bad on the surface is you had a lot of beat reporters say any more transfers would be unexpected. Like those first two, Fuller and Horn,
expected. That's the thing.
But now that you have a guy like Morrow, that's why this looks bad. Although, as you dig deeper, I don't think it'll hurt as much. But I would still like to have Ed Morrow on this team, no doubt.
You got to keep a guy like Ed. Mm-hmm. You got to keep a guy like Ed to bring the guys that are new to the program along, do it his way as far as the effort and ability.
But why I think this is a surprise and the great point you made, he goes back home, he hears from maybe former AAU coaches, former teammates.
And I don't know that, but I'm just, yeah. Well, I know I have an idea of the...
But it makes sense timeline-wise, right? He goes home after the season, spring break.
And he got to thinking,
hey, if I want to keep playing... pro maybe, which I don't see at all, but if I want to keep that hope alive, I need to make a switch. And the reports by Lee Barfnik saying that he wants to play in the wing, I've not seen
anything offensively for him to do that.
And that's why I think his limitations were just going to be too much. I was a big Ed Morrow guy
still
when
am.
He came in.
I want
still,
Ed to
yeah.
do well. I love Ed.
Yeah, agreed. But like besides offensive rebounding, toughness, and a little defense just because he's undersized, but man, he couldn't shoot. His dribbling skills were that of the JV level. Like, he just couldn't dribble, and then
he didn't have guard skills
and not a great passing. Like, all of a sudden he wants to go and play the wing. Like, that seems a bit delusional or just self unaware.
Now again, what's being whispered, what's being suggested? And if you're Tim Miles, though, I think there's different Tim Miles's, okay? And listen, we can be different around different people. That's a fact of life. Mm-hmm. But I think you have Tim the recruiter, because Tim's a first impression guy, okay? First impression of Tim, he's funny. He makes fun of being Catholic. He's charismatic. You think he's kind of goofy in a good way. He's a guy you'd have a beer with and want to hang out with. Mm-hmm. You think Tim's a good time, and, man, I want this guy to be successful. That's why he's still here. People like him. And he's already went to a tournament, okay? I don't know about his organizational skills. I don't know about his talent, eye for talent. You have pros and cons that say, and hey, they got this guy here. Mm-hmm. So you have differing cases. I look at a guy like Tim Miles who can get into a living room or be in front of a recruit that an assistant coach brings in, and they'll like him initially. Again, first impression. They will like him. And then you have Tim the coach. Is he even keel? Does he project the pressure he's feeling on his kids? I don't know these. I'm asking the question. I'm going through the whole gamut. There's Tim the boss. Do I like working for the guy? Is it ever good enough for him? Does he know? Does he have a plan? Because we can list off six other guys that have been through here or on the current roster that are also forwards for Nebraska, can play that four spot. Mm-hmm. And then there's Tim to the media and fans. When the camera's on, or you're at a press conference, or you take a few minutes with him afterwards, he's good to you. And he's good to the fans. And that's so important, because he is a guy that's thankful. He is a guy that's grinded his way from teaching classes and being at... he has worked his ass off to get where he's at.
Oh, yeah.
The question now is, can he handle where he's at? And that's the issue right now. And organizationally, with what's your recruiting plan? Get the best available. What's your recruiting pitch? Tell them what they want to hear. Ed, you want to play pro basketball? come to Nebraska. We'll help make that happen. Can I help you make that happen? And then once you get here, does that message change?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same storyline from the initial meeting where you liked him? Is it the same story from where you came in and, okay, it's going to be a whole new world. It's his world as coach. We're just living in it. So there's going to be a difference between living room, I'm going to fawn over you, I'm going to get you to campus, to boot camp when you got to go. I get that. But is he telling guys one thing when he gets them here and then at some point in their career shifting them? He may be right. Ed needs to be in the paint, not a three.
Something you said that was really interesting to me, and I'm a big Nebraska ball guy, but you want to come to Nebraska and you want to make it the pros. Like, even I have to, like, snark at that a little bit. Because, like, what incoming freshman thinks that?
They all our history? Think that, if they're
No, they want to go pro, but who thinks coming to Nebraska will help me go pro? Like, with our history,
here's the other part of the pitch.
Like, so that's why it's tough to recruit and get guys.
Come here and be the man, and come be a game changer. Those are what you're selling to an amazing facility in a great part of the state of Nebraska down in the rail yard. That's how you're getting kids here. Jacob Padilla is next. His thoughts on Ed Morrow. Hail Varsity continues.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
1 hour away, the Pirate Mike Leach. Washington State. We'll ask him about the 3-4 defense and if he dances like Elaine from Seinfeld. Bo Reed coming up. Plenty of thoughts on Ed Morrow saying goodbye. Our Nebraska basketball insider, HailVarsity.com, Jacob Padilla. Great story and column from Jacob on Nebraska basketball. What's next for them on our premium section of HailVarsity.com, 30-day free trial offer when you sign up. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Jacob, we love you, man. Thanks for making time back to back. It's kind of like, the 3-4 hole hitter back in the heydays of the Oakland A's. McGuire, Canseco, back to back yak shots. That's what I think. Thanks for coming on again. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm here whenever you guys need me.
Well, now, are you there?
We need you.
Are you there for Nebraska basketball fans? Because they need a hug today.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've needed a hug for a while, but yesterday just made it even more important.
Okay, so you had this news and info last night. You saw it, and I've just been kind of rambling here as to, I call this a double fault accident, okay? That's the best way I can sum it up, where you can't lose a guy like this in your current state if you're Tim Miles. In the same sense, you need to have some realistic pictures of what you do best for a team. If you're Ed Morrow, how do you kind of grade this thing out? Not necessarily fault, but just how did you sift through this and kind of process it?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what the situation here is, where Ed Morrow didn't want to play the role that the team needed of him most and that his skill set seemed to fit at this point. You hear this talk about him wanting to play a wing, worrying about the NBA and playing professionally and things like that. And I just kind of wonder where that's coming from based on everything he's shown in 2 years at Nebraska, where his strengths are rebounding and occasionally finishing inside. And beyond that, he doesn't bring a whole lot to the lineup offensively in terms of skills, whether handling the ball or shooting from anywhere or even passing it. He's pretty turnover prone. So I kind of compared it to the Trayshon Thurman situation with UNO, where he didn't want to play the role that they have kind of planned out for him because he's worried about the next level, despite the fact that his skill set and what he does well probably lends him to playing that position best. And more, that was always a problem for him to begin with because he's a 6'7" post player. And Nebraska had him playing center, and they would have him playing center again next year. But I'm not really sure what else you do with him because, like I just mentioned, the skill set just isn't there for a more versatile game.
Jacob, do you think Morrow is just maybe, strong word here, a bit delusional or just not self-aware or maybe getting bad advice? Because I haven't seen anything in his game to me that translates that he can make the switch to the three position.
Yeah, neither. Yeah, I'm not going to call the kid delusional, but that is kind of a word that you could come to mind if some of that stuff is actually what's driving this and how he's thinking. Because he's 6'7", 237, I think is what he's listed at. And you just watch him play, you look at him, he just looks like a short post player. He plays like a short post player. And I don't know if he thinks Nebraska hasn't developed him well enough, and maybe that's part of it. Like, hey, I got to go find somewhere that's going to develop these skills in me better. But I mean, as you got to have a certain baseline as a player yourself for those skills to be developed. And just what little I've seen some practices, and obviously what he's shown in games, I don't necessarily know if that baseline is there.
Do you also feel like we had a similar guy on the roster whose game is similar tomorrow with Michael Japeson? Both undersized, both great offensive rebounders, but also can't shoot?
Japeson isn't undersized. He's got a pretty good size, about 6'9", 240, added some weight. He's a solid size for a 4'5", I think. The problem with him, biggest problem with him, is he can't really finish shots at this point. He coming in, he kind of had the reputation as a stretch big, could step out and knock down some jump shots. But that shot just hasn't fallen at Nebraska, whether from three or from 18 feet. There was a stretch there in this game where he started knocking down some range jumpers, but kind of went away again. And I think that's basically what he's devoting his offseason to, is getting that jump shot hammered out and polished up, because that's the role he wants to play, is that of a stretch four. And Morrow actually had a good impact on Japeson, because when those two were out there, both of them crashed their glass, and Japeson didn't necessarily have to take as much pounding defending fives, and it freed him up a little bit. When Morrow went out of the lineup, Japeson, who actually I'd say was outplaying him in the first few games of the Big Ten, he's putting up bigger numbers at least. And once Morrow left, that kind of went away, and Japeson never really kind of got back to that level he was at. But they're slightly different. I think Japeson has much more potential to be a shooter.
Yeah.
Whereas Morrow, I haven't seen it. I don't know if he has great touch. Japeson doesn't have great touch either, but just in terms of shooting mechanics and confident shooting and willingness to take the shot, I think teams will respect him more, and he has a better chance of becoming a threat as a shooter.
Jacob, what do you look at Nebraska's recruiting plan to be? They've gotten some really good names. They've gotten some high-profile talent. The kids have performed from time to time on the court. So I'm not knocking who's been brought in, but you look at the number of guys that are those four spots, Japeson, Morrow, McVay, I mean, and then you had Horn that could kind of provide that. Same with Roby size-wise, and I know there's better fits, but I'm just throwing out. You've got a laundry list of dudes. What's the recruiting approach? Get the best available talent, and we'll sort it out and kind of shift it around to make it work? I mean, does that seem the best description of it?
Yeah, that kind of does seem to be what it looks like, and I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, well, it's a big problem because you have too many guys doing the same thing.
Oh, exactly, and I think Nebraska hasn't ever really had a full roster that played well, that complemented each other at every position, that had depth at every position since Miles has been here. They've always had strength here and there and struggled elsewhere, never really had outside shooting, and you look at the roster now, even like before these guys had left, before Fuller and Morrow and Horn had all transferred, you had like seven guys at the 3-4 spot that could play kind of that range. That's like two-thirds of your roster just at those two positions. And you only had one true center size-wise. You only had one true point guard. So that is kind of, I think, part of the problem why they have struggled is they're some of these guys, they are, like you're looking, they're getting some name guys, some four-star guys, that kind of thing, some still top 150 three-star guys, that kind of thing, where they're just going after kind of who they think they can get, but mm-hmm. so far it hasn't really yielded a well-rounded roster yet. And I think they're heading that direction a little bit more with this this next recruiting class. And Nana Akinton is 6'6 wing, can play the two or the three, can shoot the ball. So that's something you need. James Fulmer Jr. is another 6'6 wing. I think he'll be able to handle the ball a little bit, play the two or the three. So you've got a little bit more depth at the two, the three, and the four now. What you need is another five and another ball handler. And that's, I think the more transfer was, did come someone as a surprise, just you could tell that based on the recruiting. All these offers they've got going out have been to junior college guards, and you've seen them recruiting some high school guards more heavily. And you haven't heard anything about big men. So that's now going to have to change. You're going to have to find another center. Because I don't necessarily think that you want to ask Jacobson to slide over and play the five and then have another guy who isn't happy with his role. You could just be kind of repeating your past mistakes. So I think they need to go out and get another five. They need to get a ball handler that can help Glenn Watson run the offense.
Yeah, great points there. Here, I want to run this potential starting five for next season by you, because even if Ed was back, I probably would have moved him to the bench. So you got Glenn at one, Palmer at two. Unless Nana is that good, then he can start. Roby at the three, Copeland at the four, Jordy at the five. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably your best potential lineup. And said Nana, we'll see what he can do, and he can probably, depending on how well James Palmer can shoot, I'm not quite sure. We'll have to see what kind of a shooter he is in game situations. So if he could be a guy you match up, you put out there just for spacing, and then have Palmer play off the bench as another kind of playmaker type. But I think what you just said right there is probably kind of your ideal starting lineup in terms of rounding out the team, having good prospects at all five spots. And the question is Copeland going to be eligible right away? Mm-hmm. Or is that something they're going to have to wait until the second semester for? That suddenly becomes a lot more important now, because if he doesn't get that medical hardship, then you've got Roby, McVeigh, and Jacobson, and Shimanga as your only bigs, really. So suddenly, a position that was really strong is really shorthanded. So I think we'll find that out kind of late April, early May, I think, is what they're expecting, when they're expecting to get the news. So we still got about a month or so to wait before we get the news on that. But that suddenly becomes a lot more important, because if he can play right away from the start, that'll give you the depth you need, and also let you kind of develop that five that you mentioned, and give them more time in the non-conference to kind of learn how to play together.
Jacob Adela, HaleVarsity.com, basketball insider with Nebraska. Jacob, I have like literally 30 seconds. Do you think the role issue was more about the coach explaining it? Was Ed, do you think, blindsided that he'll have to do this spot again? Or is it just something he got tired of?
I think it's something he got tired of. It's just kind of a combination of his skill set, the roster, and what they need. So I don't necessarily think that he was like, I'm going to be able to play the four now, because obviously you had Copeland coming in.
Right. I got you. Jacob, awesome work. HaleVarsity.com. Great piece on the Ed Morrow transfer by Jacob Padilla. Jacob, we'll catch up soon. Have a good weekend, man. Thank you.
Same to you guys.
Take care. Awesome stuff. Jacob Padilla with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. We'll continue on.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HaleVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
20 minutes away, Husker standout Bo Reed, as he's traveling back from California. His thoughts on Ed Morrow. And it's not quite 24 hours since the announcement, so room for you to dive in. 466-377-6800-825-5865. A lot of you are just frustrated because you lose such a good player in Ed. Some of you aren't surprised. Some of you are saying, eh, whatever gets us a new coach. I mean, there's different schools of thought in where your give-a-crap level is at with Nebraska basketball. And I think TJ and I are in support of Ed from a just go do your thing and be good. Ed, you're a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the questions or the answer, the why, we have a circle and we have a highlight. It's roll. And that's where I want to go here for a second. Don't forget, at 25 after, next hour, our favorite pirate, Mike Leach, will join us on Hail Varsity Radio. Here's what I wonder. And you, as a coach, have to always adapt. Dana Altman was with us earlier in the week. A few minutes into the interview, it came up. As we practice shorter amounts of time, I can't be as old school as I used to be. And if I am, kids don't like it, they'll just leave. I don't think this was an issue with Tim Miles being too old school for Ed, because Ed's old school. Okay. And then you look at a coach like Frank Martin that's in the Final Four. Frank recruits an attitude and a toughness. And then once you have the attitude and toughness, the rest will follow, the skill. It's the buy-in part. And Tim Miles, with working his way up in his basketball career, has always kind of been in stops in regions where what the authority said went. The authority being the elder. I'm thinking Fort Collins, what type of recruits you get into Colorado State. Some guys that have some talent, yes, to play Division One, but they're blue collar. And you can also get blue collar, and you've got to have blue collar to win in the Big Ten and at Division One. And you'll get blue collar at Nebraska. But with these facilities, you're also bringing in dudes that want to be the man, or they're told, come be the man, or come be a game changer at this program. And you're getting kids that haven't been knocked down a peg before in their life. They're part of an AAU circuit. They're part of a program. They're part of a dominant school. And I'm not talking about Ed here. I'm talking in general, the type of recruits you're bringing in to come in and win immediately. They don't like being told no or what to do or share the basketball. It's a culture and societal thing when you have 700 Division I basketball transfers. Okay, I'm going to ask why, and if I don't like it, I'm going to tell you to go to hell. I'm going to transfer. That's the problem. Now, as a coach, you got to adapt or die. And you got to really sit back and learn and figure out the personality and the button pushing and who you can ride herd on and who you got to kind of coddle. And it might drive you absolutely batty if you got to coddle somebody. But you're going to if you're going to recruit that kid. And I think you have guys that just get wore out either with their role or the demand, or they flat out just don't believe. They don't believe in their coach. They don't believe in their teammates. They don't believe they can win. And at some point, they start looking. And you've had a list of guys start looking, either because of their own selfishness or own dreams, I'll rephrase that, or it is a train wreck in the locker room. And I think it's becoming more and more apparent. You don't have one voice that guys kind of crowd to. And when you're losing as a program, or you're on a roller coaster, you can win some, you can lose some, you need a peer voice in there to calm things, because there's probably some guys in that locker room that are not hearing the coach anymore. It's white noise. And now it is pressure, pressure, pressure. Perception's awful. You keep losing either highly touted guys or the best players. In this instance, there's a disagreement on role and fit and vision. But it's tournament or bust next year. That's the narrative. And we can crank out the roster here. They're not dead. But no. a guy like Ed stabilizes uncertainty. And you can't lose that, and they've been losing that.
It does that. And before we get to the roster, let me ask you, Tim Miles' role for Ed Morrow, playing the five and then the four, wouldn't that be best suit his traits? Obviously he's undersized, but
give me Ed as a four and put Jordy in as a five and put Copeland at your other forward spot.
But I just don't see how Ed is going to stretch out at the four. Like, I think the role he has for Tim Miles has for Ed Morrow was fine. But if Ed wants to play the three, then that's what's going to make him happy.
Ed just doesn't want to post up against some seven-footer.
Well, then he better develop a dribble drive game because he's never shown that.
But the point is you can – Ed, to me, my man, is always going to be like Jacobson, except Jacobson can stretch out, not consistently, mind you. Ed's going to be a hustle guy, bro. He's going to be a Rodman. Ed is a Rodman, all right? That's what he is. Dennis averaged 25 points in college at Western Panhandle, Oklahoma State Community College. That's what he is. He's Rodman. Once in a while, a jumper will go in. But you're busting your butt as a hustle guy. And an offensive rebound guy. That's how you're going to get your 12 and 10. Period. Russ is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Russ, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think I just kind of will probably say that I probably would represent a great vast majority. And I just think this thing has been so done for so long. I know we keep trying to come up with
from a player standpoint, they've just been done.
No, I'm just saying from a fan standpoint and how this basketball program has been run for so long. I don't know how much more has to be laid out there in front of the whole state of Nebraska. You got the last 4 years have pretty much been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Keep losing players. I mean, Nebraska basketball, the University of Nebraska itself, has basically been known as a school that will not pay to get a decent coach here. And when you have a basketball program that's really been nothing other than a couple of years for 100 years,
mm-hmm.
you just gotta
just accept what you are.
Accept what you are, and you need to right now, because it's here from now.
Russ, we're up against it. Hang on for me. Hang on for me.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Bo Reed, 10 minutes away. He'll give us his thoughts on Tim Miles, on Nebraska basketball, on Ed Morrow, 10 minutes away. Mike Leach, 30 minutes away. Tom has been on hold. Tom, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks a lot. The thing that brings me a little less pain about this whole thing is the fact that Morrow's had a foot problem ever since he got on campus, and I think had it operated on, and he made it 17 or so games before something other than the surgery and his foot flared up. It just reminded me of Jorge Brian Diaz when Sadler was still here, and the fact
it's a blast
that
from the past.
I think if he wouldn't have had his problems, I think who knows, maybe Sadler would. But he would have bought Sadler another couple years.
Jorge went to Hawaii and said, peace, I'm out, yeah.
Well, then there's Rachel Terrio, who had two surgeries in 4 years and couldn't finish her senior year. So, sure. You know what, maybe if whoever gets Morrow, maybe they're just who knows, maybe it's baggage. I hope not, but that's a possibility. Thanks
Tom,
a lot.
Tom, thanks for the call. And that's the thing is, I mean, there are some things, and Ed's got some foot issues, some injury history. I hope Ed's 100% healthy and has a great career wherever he's at.
And I think you got your former Nebraska basketball players mixed up. That was Christian St. Haringer who went to Hawaii.
Okay, sorry. But I'm lost in a Thursday of transfer, okay? Listen, and I tell you what, our last caller, Russ, was like, I've seen this my whole life. They don't care about basketball, they being the administration. It's not been a priority here except for the knee era. And they got lucky with hiring him. That was Devaney. It was between Mike Montgomery, remember him, and Danny Knee. And Bob hired Danny. It worked out fine. My point here is that you have the money. You have the facilities. You have Big Ten money. Spend money on a proven coach. Mm-hmm.
And now, it finally did seem like they did care when they got the Hendricks Complex. Like,
sure.
That was finally a giant step forward.
It was, but you still go the mid-major route was Russ's point.
Sure.
Now, the other side of that question is, I mean, you're going to have to overpay to get a recycled dude here, historically. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows? I mean, and you still have a coach, too. But it's looking so bleak right now. No joy today if you're a Nebraska basketball fan when you lose a guy like Ed Morrow. But just, I mean, here are the transfers. Serge, Hawkins, Deverell, Terran Smith, Jacob Hammond, Bakari Evelyn, Andrew White, Jariah Horn, Fuller, Easy Ed. Some of those guys shouldn't even have ever brought to campus.
Mm-hmm.
So someone needs to answer for talent evaluation.
But you can
and
go
someone
like,
and someone needs to answer.
Xiong Ping, Alonzo Edwards, like those guys in the dock era, they should have never been here either.
But how?
I know. Why are they end up here?
Yeah, how?
Because you just need a big man.
You need bodies.
And it just,
you're Nebraska. You'll take whoever. Well, no. And when you do get guys that have next level ability or can be a difference maker in Power 5 basketball, you got to keep them here. They aren't. Bo Reed next on Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, bad day!
Hey, bad day!
We get better and better!
We get better
and better! We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Bro, big, big!
Bro, big, big!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More thoughts on Ed Morrow. Welcome in, Husker Hoop standout, part of that 1991 team, the three-seed team. And Bo Reed, as he's traveling, are you weaving your way through airport traffic? Bo, how are you?
I am weaving my way through airport traffic in Salt Lake City on the way home to Omaha from California.
Well, how many pictures of Karl Malone have you passed?
I don't have any pictures of Karl Malone.
Not you. I'm saying in the airport.
Yeah, no, I don't see any.
Bo, listen, man, upheaval. It's not even been 24 hours and Nebraska basketball fans freaking out, and I understand it just because of how impressive Ed Morrow has been when you've seen him as a Husker. I want to first get your reaction to the news last night, your immediate thoughts here as Nebraska loses a really talented player.
Well, my immediate thought was total shock. Like, it completely caught me off guard. You know, I could see where Jariah went. When he left, it was a little less unexpected just because I didn't really feel like his style of basketball fit really well with our organization. It seemed like he had struggled to pick up some of the defensive things that we were trying to get done. So he didn't shock me. This one shocks me, and I don't even know what to think about it, honestly. I hate to speculate. I just wonder if the kid's healthy.
Yeah, that's a question, because Ed's had a couple of foot issues, and you know what happened when he was gone through the meat of Big Ten play this year. But let's talk role here. Just doing my own math on this, when Ed got back from spring break, the accounts from Lee with his story, and then they had their meeting Monday, and then the transfer happens Wednesday. To me, this came down to role and unhappiness with projected role for Ed. There's two streets, two sides of the street on this. Ed wants to go and be a pro. A lot of kids want to play pro basketball. Whether that's a reality or not, time will tell. And then you have a roster look, and you got to see what's best for your team strength-wise, and Ed's strength was in the paint versus what he would like to do, and that's be a wing or a power forward. Just offensive development right there. His offensive skill wasn't strong from a jump shot or off the dribble. Do you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. And there's just, once kids get certain things in their head, certain people tell them, listen, if you're going to play in the paint, you have no chance playing in the league. You're 6'7". And kids get stuff in their head. Sounds like maybe you're suggesting that he had been kind of talked to during his meeting about.
And I don't know that. I don't have. But if you're just mapping out and blueprinting what do you need to work on this summer, this off season, everyone's pushing towards the tournament. And,
well, he can spend every day from here to eternity, and Ed's not a three-man. So, I mean, the guy's going to play power forward or five. Mm-hmm. That's what he is.
Well, from a frustration standpoint, you look at Ed, and in fairness to him, he's 6'7", trying to score at times against much taller guys. So,
yeah, understood. I mean, I see him as more of a power forward than a five, for sure.
Right.
But I still see him as a guy that's a high post type player, but if he feels like if he's going to play basketball at the next level, he has to develop into something more than that, then there's probably nothing Coach Miles could have said, especially if Coach Miles doesn't see him in that same light. You know, sometimes a kid gets something in his head and you're not going to change it.
Mm-hmm. Bo Reed with us here, Hale Varsity Radio. He's on a pit stop in Salt Lake before he heads back to Nebraska. Bo, a Husker standout. Now, let's talk about Ed's intangibles, what he brought to the team, and the PR side of this for Nebraska basketball and Coach Miles. Bo, Ed's a guy that teammates looked up to and followed, and you can't lose that, and you can't lose that on a 12-win team that's trying to make a charge.
Well, I definitely think that Ed brought a level of toughness to our basketball team, especially in the early part of the Big Ten schedule when they were playing well. He was dominant against Maryland, mm-hmm. And his physical presence gave our kids confidence. So, you know, it's just, this whole thing's just weird.
Yeah, and it's not the first time you've had, and kids transfer, right? Kids transfer everywhere, and kids transfer from Coach Miles. Tim also gets kids to transfer in. It's just another kind of punch in the gut for Nebraska basketball. If you're Coach Miles, what do you do next? Obviously, you pray that no one else leaves. You don't know if anyone will leave. But if you're on that roster, Bo, and you look at a guy like Ed leaving, are you shaky all of a sudden for the look towards next season under Coach Miles?
I mean, I think it's natural that people feel a little shaky about it. He was one of the pieces of the puzzle that you kind of counted on being present. So, I mean, I think a little bit of fear is natural with the upheaval in terms of the kids leaving. But a guy that's he's fighting for his program. Nobody's probably more upset or more aware mm-hmm. of the implication of Ed leaving than him. Without knowing all the facts of that conversation between he and Ed, it's just a little unfair to speculate that this is a one way or, you know, not a mutual decision. Mm-hmm. And so it's, although that would be hard to fathom.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to see everything that happens in a locker room. We don't get to see all of the interaction. And I'm certainly not suggesting that is the case, but we don't really know the case. And so on the surface, it's a surprising move by the kid, mm-hmm. for sure. It's a surprising move, you know, because I think a lot of people felt like Ed was playing a big role mm-hmm. and Ed was going to continue to play a big role. So why would you leave? At the end of the day, we're just going to have to kind of see how Coach Miles pivots and how he reacts to that, and hope that some of the new players coming in can replace Ed's toughness and tenacity and his rebounding. And then from that point, all you can do is continue to support the team. Hope that it works out for the best, both for our basketball program and for Ed. You know, I know Coach Miles certainly doesn't wish the kid any ill will, that's for sure.
No, I just remember the cheer that Ed got when he got back from injury. I think it was the Wisconsin game that he came back from the foot injury. You have a team that's struggling and it's still packing PBA, and the place roared when Ed came off the bench to go in against Wisconsin. People love
Ed.
Yeah,
that game.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing.
Yeah, and Ed's a good dude and you wish him well. And when you look at Nebraska here, now Coach Miles has three open scholarships. How does he get difference makers to the program when it, and we don't know this because I-Course hasn't said anything, but the look is you have a year to get it done to remain. How's this pitch go to fill those three scholarship spots?
Well, just the fact that this is happening, you know, in the spring semester, late in the school year, puts us behind the eight ball in terms of replacing Ed with a given talent. Mm-hmm. So you end up with some kids that have slipped through the cracks for one reason or another. Typically academics can kind of cause a kid to kind of still be available late. Coach Nee had a number of situations that were similar, but it seemed like those were always kind of difficult situations. So, you know, the transfers that we have that have been sitting out have to play a big role, obviously. And some kids that are left behind have to play a really big role. I think it puts a lot of pressure to really develop Jordy Tishinga so that then Michael Jacobson can play the four. And so Jordy's got to get better this summer because he's going to have to play a very significant amount of minutes, and he's going to have to be productive. Ed's transfer just made that kid have some pressure to get better and develop. So.
And Bo, real quick, tell me from your basketball background and standpoint, and just your experience, the anti Tim Miles roar is, well, you've either misjudged talent or you've been unable to develop talent because of this merry-go-round of players shuffling in or out, or there's been some disconnect with guys leaving, good players leaving. So there's a lot of balls in the air here question-wise. If you're Ed, and maybe one school of thought was, well, I'm not going to get better here, I need to go somewhere else offensively, what's the approach and what's the recourse to get your forwards and your centers developed? How do you go do that? Because it takes bigger guys a while to develop offensively, hence a lot of times they come in raw.
Yeah, well, a couple things. Number one, Coach Miles can't win. You know, if we don't have a top 100 player, people are questioning his ability to recruit. Well, I got news for you. Top 100 players have other choices besides Nebraska.
Right.
And they end up in different places unless you have a personal relationship with them going back quite a ways, or you have the odd person that decides that they want to go somewhere and be a game changer and aren't afraid to put the program on their shoulders. You know, secondly, if you do invest in some of these kids that are tweeners and that the bigger schools aren't taking, then you do have to develop them. And there's not always a guarantee that the kid's going to do the work to develop and do the work required, because the coach can show a kid everything you want. But the reality is kids get better in the summer by going and doing the work themselves. You know, to get better at this game, you need a gym and you need a ball. And, you know, I think a lot of our kids have to get back to that. And you make yourself a better player in the summertime. Your coaches can tell you what to do. They can give you the things that you need to work on. But if you're not going to go do the work, you're not going to get better. And I think sometimes we lay all of the development, the player development, on the coaches. But, you know, I remember one of the expectations of Coach Nee was he had different workouts for different players. Mm-hmm. And there it was a time deal. You should be able to get this workout done in X number of minutes. And, you know, you couldn't do that the first time through. You couldn't do it the 10th time through. You had to do that workout all summer long to get to where you have the stamina and the endurance to do that workout and get it done within the allotted amount of time. So we had a way of understanding by the time a kid came back to campus in the fall if they had done the work. And if they didn't, that kid had a tough fall. And so I think we got to figure out, you know, a way to hold the players more accountable for the work that they do in the off season, because player development is obviously the coaches play a role in that, but the kid has to do the work. And I think you run the risk when you're into these kids that are kind of in between kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think you run the risk that some of the kids get to a certain point to figure out, hey, I'm not going to play in the NBA. And I'm pretty happy being a college kid going to the University of Nebraska. It's a pretty nice place. And they get treated like gold. And, so you get a couple kids and maybe an Ed Morrow that says, hey, I'm never going to make the league playing here. Yeah, I don't – that just doesn't sit well with me. You know, because it's like going into our senior year, we had all these guys fighting and complaining about playing time all because they wanted to play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally dawned on some of our people, guess what? None of us are going to play in the NBA when you win 12 basketball games. So if you want to play in the league, we have to get good and we have to win. And winning has to become the first priority. And unfortunately, a lot of the kids are in this generation are me first.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hesitate to transfer if they think it's better for them or their brand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The brand has to become about winning here. And the parts have to become interchangeable. And it's got to be, hey, we're playing to win. Personal goals will happen if we win. So it's, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is,
mm-hmm.
but kids leaving because they want to pursue personal goals, you know, I get it. You'd hope that a kid like Ed Morrow wouldn't feel like he needed to go somewhere else to pursue his personal goals. But at the end of the day, if his personal goals are something that we don't feel fits our program or we don't feel really are his strengths or even his abilities, then it's probably best that the two parties do go different directions, you know, and you hope to move on and plug in people that do want to play for the Big Red and do want to run out to a sold out arena. And some of the things I think some of these kids take for granted that they have really, really good here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Bo Reed with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Find Bo on Twitter at BReed40. Bo, have a safe trip. Thanks for a few minutes, man. Great to get caught up.
Yeah, thanks for including me.
Bo Reed with us, Hail Varsity Radio, as he's making his way back to Omaha. His thoughts on Ed, his thoughts on the Nebraska program, and his thoughts on just kind of the challenge coaches face. And then there are some challenges the players face, too, with buy-in, with belief. And again, I call this a double fault accident. Can't lose a kid like Ed. In the same sense, where's your role going to help best fit the team? And those are fair questions. A sit-down coming up with our favorite Pirate. We'll get to some college football and other shenanigans with Mike Leach. Coach Leach is next. Caller 6 right now, a 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. A great opportunity for you to be part of the message board community. A great opportunity to check out some of the premium content, which is practice updates, inside info, Jacob Padilla's great write-up on Nebraska and the Ed Morrow situation. Caller 6 now, a 6-month online subscription for you on us, HailVarsity.com. Caller 6-466-3776, 466-3776, toll free 800-825-5865. Caller 6 now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Mike Leach next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Spring football underway. We welcome in head coach, Washington State, award-winning author, Swing Your Sword, and Geronimo, Mike Leach, back with us. Coach, how we doing? Spring ball underway up in Wazoo. How's it going?
It's been going good. We just had our third practice. We had You know, and obviously we got to get better. That's what spring ball is all about, identifying what you got to work on. And we'll meet today, you know, to do that. I think we've got quite a bit of enthusiasm. I think that, you know, it's always reining it in and capitalizing on all that stuff. We've got quite a few guys back. And our new guys, I guess the biggest pleasant surprise is our new guys and our young guys are further along than I thought they would be.
That's always key. And I got to ask you about when you kind of kicked off spring practice, somehow, some way, dancing came up, and your bad memories about square dancing, is that correct?
Well, you got Pippins, Marcellus Pippins, who plays corner for us, who's a great natural dancer.
Right.
You know, he can dance and do flips and all kinds of stuff, and he's one of those guys that out there on the field, if something good happens, he bursts into dance, and something bad does, he will too. And he does kind of energize the team, me and the rest of the masses with it. But he does it kind of naturally. It's not like called upon. He just sort of bursts into it, and he is a good dancer. In my case, however, I was never into dancing. And there was a horrifying time in my youth in PE where PE was in segments, and they had, you know, the segments were all fine. There was, you know, there'd be the wrestling segment, that was good. The football segment, that was good. You know, you'd break up and play basketball, that was good. The dodgeball, which I was particularly good because, as usual, I'm really good at sports that don't count. Any sport that doesn't count, I excel in. So then, well, then along came, then they have the dance section. It's like, what, the dance section? And see, PE in grade school is actually kind of exciting because what they would do is they would ship the kids from the other three grade schools together. So you'd see guys that you didn't necessarily know and from other schools. Well, then all of a sudden they have, you know, there's a square dance. It's like, you know, it's predominantly square dancing. There may have been other types, but as we've already mentioned, I don't know much about dancing. So, well, then it would be go out there. All of a sudden they have a guy that feels like he knows something about dance and, you know, put on a record as they would describe all the stuff you were supposed to do. I was, you know, I was out there bewildered, in shock, self-conscious, you know, the whole thing. And, well, and I would go through the motions the best I could, but I've never been a guy that was particularly successful at convincing people I liked something when I didn't.
Right. You can't fake it,
and,
right?
Oh, and it was clear I hated it. It was clear I hated it. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And, I mean, this would happen once a PE session.
Right.
Literally once a week. We can't dance with you in here. Get out. And so then I had to go sit over on the steps by the wrestling mat. So, I mean, it was literally a ritual. I mean, it literally got to the point where I think toward the end, I just walked towards the stairs, you know. But, yeah, what a nightmare that was. But I'm past that. I've never fully understood dancing, and clearly I'm wrong. Most people like it. And like anybody through high school, I mean, and my wife's a really good dancer, really likes dancing. As a matter of fact, my wife Sharon, you know, they have those dance games where it has a series of like squares, you know, on the floor.
Sure.
And the music comes on and you have to hit the spots in sequence. You know, if you're a good dancer, my kid, you know, got her to buy it for him one time. And you know, she would just smoke the kids at it. She'd hammer the kids at it. And, I mean, it got to the point where she would shove the kids off of it and just take over, you know. She's really good at this stuff, but I never fully understood. I never got dancing. Okay, meet girls, I understood that. Go somewhere where girls are, understood that. And so a good way to meet them is to dance with them. I never understood that, you know. Okay, so let's see. We got to meet, get to know each other. All right, now let's do this. I never got that.
Maybe it's a show of good faith that you're willing to do something you're uncomfortable with. There's judgment following that. I got to ask you, if the opportunity came up and you've just outlined the disinterest in dancing. But let's flip it around. If Dancing with the Stars came calling, would you gut through it?
Oh, they did one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That was categorically turned down. That was no. That was no. I have no interest whatsoever.
Well, what all have you turned down, Coach? I mean, you've Dancing with the Stars. I'm sure reality TV opportunities.
Yeah, a couple reality TV things. Once in a while, you know, some Hard Knocks type of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe it and who specifically was doing it, but, you know, where they mic your locker room and all
right.
this stuff, and you got people everywhere. And a surefire way to catch Coach Leach cursing about something, you know. Yeah, but basically when I got fired from Tech, I mean, I had a number of things that I could have done. I mean, and obviously the things I did do was I went on Sirius Radio with Jack Root every day and then did CBS. I broadcast for CBS and then got busy and promoted the book instead. But there was some conversation, and that was one of them. Let's look at this. They said, well, let's not look at that one, you know.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, Nebraska is in the middle of their spring practice. Bob Diaco is the new defensive coordinator. As a guy who's super talented on offense, what's your take on the 3-4 defense?
I think it's good. Probably my preference. You know, they're both good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody acts like there's 20 defenses, and if you're counting every little nuance, you know, maybe there's 100 defenses. But you know, there's basically odd front. You know, mm-hmm. cover the center up, and then you can adjust a guy or two here or there. There's even front where you uncover the center. There's even front, well, you know, so there's an even front where they're covered with the linebacker, and then there's even front where there's a linebacker on either side of the center. And then, of course, there's the bare defense where you cover the inside three.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
You can fit darn near everything else front-wise within those four.
Okay.
And the 3-4 is in the bear, the distinction between that's not that many, much always. So you can tuck almost all of them within about three categories. I like the 3-4 quite a lot though, because I like the center covered, and I also like that generally that your head up, and then you can go either direction.
Coach, wanted to ask you here about the NCAA tournament. I don't know how much basketball you watch. Have you gotten into it at all? And do you like watching Frank Martin of South Carolina? He reminds me of a football coach.
I know Frank Martin. It's impossible for me to not be excited about Frank Martin's teams. I guess my favorite basketball guys, I like Ernie Kent, of course, who's our basketball coach here at Washington State. Bob Huggins, one of my all-time favorites. Frank Martin, who I've met and I know a little bit, and have talked to him and spent a little time with him. Very impressive, very impressive. And you know, with Bob Huggins there at Kansas State, two just fantastic coaches, and then does it the old-fashioned way. I mean, he's not afraid to ask people to do tough things. I can't be more impressed with Frank Martin, and honestly, and this is long before, you know, he had all the success he did this year. From a distance, I've kind of quietly thought about going and talking to Frank Martin and picking his brain, because I am really impressed with him. And then, you know, based on where we're at and the local community here, we're excited about Gonzaga. You know,
yeah.
I mean, our community here, I mean, it's a big deal if Gonzaga is successful. And so it's hard to not like them. And I've met some of their coaches on the road and just, you know, just good, solid guys. They kind of remind me of their players, honestly.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, to wrap up, wanted to get your take on a kid you got coming in, Jameer Calvin. He chose Washington State, just very talented guy. And your thoughts on him. I know you may not like to speak about specific guys at the team game, but there was a, you know, Nebraska was going for him. Washington State ended up getting him. Do you have a thought or two on Calvin?
You know, a real elusive guy. Seems to really kind of have a nose for football and, you know, great in the return game and very elusive. One thing he had, besides just being fast, he really has the ability to change gears. And and I think that helps him a great deal.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Swing your sword, Geronimo, and the Cougs doing spring football. Coach, let's catch up again, and I might reach out again to you about some suggestions with the fireplace once they get to that part, if that's all right.
That's the thing. You want a good fireplace. You want it to look like something out of Lord of the Rings, you know.
I have not seen Lord of the Rings, Coach.
Well, or even the Harry Potter fireplaces are pretty tough to beat. You know, you want, you know, something that's got a lot of rock in it, the big opening, all kinds of flames, you know, where the rocks aren't just aligned perfect, where it's not just perfect bricks. You know, you want chunks of rock jutting out here and there.
Little medieval look is what you're saying?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, you take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. Well, great talking to you.
The Pirate, and he wants that medieval fireplace. We were talking off air, and I said, Coach, I need a fireplace suggestion. It's like, oh, got to go Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, either or. God love Mike Leach, the Pirate, one of our favorites. And, yeah, he said no to Dancing with the Stars. He could have won it. He totally could have won it.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, big thanks to Mike Leach, Washington State, and the Pirate with us. Reminder about seat belts. Buckle up. If you don't, you're not the only one who suffers. But family and friends and coworkers suffer. If you're injured or killed in a crash, click your ticket now. Reduce injuries, save lives. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. We welcome in Deb to Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, also an Omaha location. Deb, Nebraska basketball fans need some relaxation. You can help them. Do you have a spa for basketball fans and for all fans?
Yes, we do. We've got a spa that I'm kind of going to talk a little bit about this week. It's made by Master Spa. It's called the Ocho Rios. So you can be in Jamaica in your own backyard, and we can make that happen. And it's payments on that are less than $100 a month.
Whew.
So think about that. That's nothing nowadays when you think about going out for dinner or whatever. $100 for an entire month of enjoyment, relaxation. You can plug it into a 110 outlet, or they do have a model that's 220. So either way, we'll deliver it, set it up for you. It'll seat 4 to 5 people. Go to Jamaica in your backyard.
I'm going to go to Jamaica now and take an Ocho Rios with me. I mean, I'm just going to do both. And think about the price, $100. After your team loses, many of you spend that coping, okay? So
that's right.
Ocho Rios. 4 to 5 yes. of the best-looking people you know in your backyard. And Deb, the spa lady, can help you for less than $100 a month. I'm there. So
okay. I think it's a great idea.
I think it is, too. Done. I'm going to come see you tomorrow, Deb. The Ocho Rios spas will be in the Schmidt house. So the Ocho Rios, give me a little more background on it other than seating beautiful people and the plug-in option and the price element that's just a winner, less than $100.
It's a very, it's a simple hot tub, doesn't have a lot of the bells and whistles, but it just has that warm water therapy where, you know, anybody would enjoy it. It's got different levels of seating, so if you're short, you're tall, you're, you know, it will fit your family. So, yeah, and it's made by Master Spas, which is, you know, they're made in the USA in Fort Wayne, Indiana, so that's another plus for it. And you get to work with us, and we are so much fun.
You're fun. You've been doing it for 25 years and counting, and you're kind of just the authority. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln with Deb, the Spa Lady. SpasOnline.com, also an Omaha location. Ocho Rios Spas, less than $100 a month. They'll fit anyone. It'll be warm, relaxing, therapeutic. You'll love it. And on top of that, the Ocho. I mean, how cool is that to say? Give me the Ocho, Deb.
How about Yaman?
Yaman is right. We're going to get some Caribbean jerk going. Okay. We're going to, I love it. Deb, we love talking to you and enjoy the tournament.
Okay.
Thanks so much. There she is.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Ocho
bye-bye.
Rios, the spa. How about it? Get me the.
That sounds great.
Get me the Ocho.
Get me the Ocho. Man, I still remember, actually even now, but like growing up, you'd always want to go to your friend's place who had the hot tub.
Oh, can I tell you a story about the hot tub?
Please.
This was the best, and this is when I was a little kid. It's not as cool as Mike Leach's dirt clawed war stories or dodgeball or how medieval dancing was in Cody, Wyoming. But I had a bunch of G.I. Joe action figures.
Okay.
The only kid on my block to have the hovercraft, and the thing actually floated.
All right, go, Joe.
That's how I got bribed to take baths as a kid, as a young kid, talking 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. But around the age of 7, when it was still okay to play with toys,
yeah,
unlike the Hanson brothers and Slapshot, I would, my folks would be gone, my grandparents would stay with, and I'd haul my hovercraft out into the hot tub, and it'd float.
There you go.
It was awesome. And then you could turn the bubbles on.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, you know, it'd jack with a hot tub. Well, unfortunately, like, one of the weapons slipped off. And I didn't notice. And Papa Bear, on a midnight Friday, decides to go bathing suitless. And my like, sharp-ended gun poked him when he got into the hot tub.
And not a great place, or
there was cushion, but it still wasn't a good place. Okay. So I was one and done with the G.I. Joe. How awesome is the hot tub?
Yeah,
but no.
Say so after that.
I'm gonna. That's on the agenda.
Get the Ocho.
You have forced me into moving, and we're gonna have to pay both realtors, not just ours, who's awesome. We're getting a hot tub. Why the hell not?
Yeah. New house, new hot tub. Why not?
You get repoed anyway, so not the hot tub, the house. Yeah. So let's just do it. I'm in. That'll be great.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see
Don't tell
Deb.
The wife. Just do it.
Yeah. The point of it is to have the wife in there.
Okay.
I
could just see you lounging in the whole thing.
I'll
man.
Do
just
that, too. Get the floating beer. Yeah. But the point of it is to get her in there, but she's fearful of water. She'll roll in with a life
there
jacket. She never learned how to swim. Ocho Rio. Do it. Hot tub. Deb the Spa Lady. Okay. So, Nebraska football practice will get done in about 12 minutes or so. If it's done beforehand, we will get you thoughts. They are in pads today, which is a great thing. In more development, more reps, great write-up, HaleVarsity.com with Brandon Vogel on quarterback ceiling. We have spent the majority of today talking Ed Morrow and Husker basketball, so we didn't get to that point. But Athlon came out with the quarterback rankings because it's off season and why not? So the thing that I took out of the hot reads, the write up by Bogues and Athlon, frankly, what if I asked you this question? Would you guess Tommy Armstrong performed at last year? What ranking?
Of Big Ten quarterbacks?
of all 124 quarterbacks. And so you're going to totally blast the guy unintentionally and lowball him.
90.
32.
Whoa.
14 touchdowns, 8 picks.
What are their metrics?
It's touchdown. I mean, it's touchdown interception
50%
ratio.
50% completion percentage?
51. And you probably factor. Well, sorry.
No, yeah. As a team, it was 50. Armstrong had 51.
Every point counts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure wins are factored into it. Yeah? 9 wins.
Suppose so.
But I look at both quarterbacks, whoever wins the job, and just project fantastic results based on what they're good at. Are they going to perform at that level at 32? They're not running for their life. They can hand it off. But they'll be, man, if you get great quarterback play at Nebraska, watch out.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
I got a wild question. What if a coach said no? Want to transfer? Tough. You can quit, but you ain't going anywhere. Between 2014 and 2016, 2,400 Division I basketball players transferred. Now, some dudes just, and the coaches have some responsibility on this. Oh, we thought you were better than you are. Sorry you're not seeing any playing time. Goodbye. We love you, but it ain't going to work here. You're a warm body taking a spot, and you can't contribute. Go somewhere else. Drop down, lower down. That, to me, would be like a reason to let a kid go. When it comes to role and tough love and learning that life ain't always roses, sorry, you're not transferring.
I think one coach did say no, but eventually let him go. Bo Ryan. Remember that?
That's fine. But Bo, here's the reason. You know why Bo Ryan let the kid from Wisconsin go to Iowa? Because he made an ass of himself on Mike and Mike. He had a PR meth lab explosion. He looked like an old crusty scumbag. Okay? And he may or may not be, depending on who you root for. But he's a hell of a good coach. And he's old school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Had he not done the interview, he could have refused. And you're not going to let him go to a conference rival. He was forced to. All because word will get out that you're tough to deal with and kids won't want to go play for you. Play that game. I want to see if some coach will play that game of chicken. I mean, if it comes to attitude problem and fit, or you missed on the diagnosis, this kid's really, he can't play at this level, like Jacob Hammond. That's on a coach. Then take off. If a kid's looking for a bigger stage or an opportunity to get developed somewhere, I mean, you have 1,000 different reasons other than somebody, but it comes back to you're not getting your way. Like Andy Markowski told us, a week ago? You know, shut up and work harder. Mm-hmm. That's what his dad told him. There's not a lot of that anymore.
No. It's Andrew White. I need to get more exposure so I can make plays for the NBA.
Which, fine. But say no. So they quit. All right? Play that game of chicken. Maybe that's harsh. But I'd like to.
I don't know.
I'd like to see it.
Just wouldn't go well with recruiting, obviously.
Well,
but
screw them. Seriously.
I don't think it's a screw recruiting.
No, but who are you bringing in? To some extent.
Yeah.
It's your program, your head coach, you're the boss. The answer used to be when you'd ask why, because I said so.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miles did a little bit of that with pulling the scholarship from a rope.
And it still is in some households. Yeah, but if you don't think in a rope's offensive game, it needs a lot of work. But then don't offer the kid. Sorry.